You are listening to Roll the Quadcast, a Blogger So Deer podcast where little old Charlie Brown is still trying to kick that football. Blogger So Deer is the go-to website for the best independent analysis of Wake Forest athletics.
Welcome to episode 2 of Roll the Quadcast. Thank you once again for listening. We had over 300 plays or downloads last week, so we'd like to thank all of you for doing that. I'm your co-host, Rob Reinhard. With me this week is Riley Johnston. As always, today we're going to be going over the Clemson game that was not very pretty. We're going to be previewing the upcoming state game on Saturday. We're also going to be getting to your Twitter questions, and then later on we are going to be doing a little ACC pick'em, which we decided to install this week as part of our viewer feedback, which we always welcome. Riley, welcome. Welcome in. I guess we got to start with this Clemson game.
Yeah, if you want to call it a game, we can start there. I will say this: it was a road game, and once again, we won the tailgate here at Blogger So Deer. That's about all I can say for it. We didn't really have high hopes to start, and they were dashed immediately off the bat.
I tell you, if you sat down to your couch a little bit late and you were 46 seconds late, well, you missed a score and it wasn't by the Deeks.
Second and four, 65.
Well, you know, I know you had some thoughts on that third down play, in particular the third play of the game. We're not going to harp on each individual play of this game because, my goodness, it was 56-7. It was 35-7 at halftime. You can't really say anything about it, but
no.
I know we have some thoughts on the first touchdown pass to Sammy Watkins, so take us through that play.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess general thoughts first, and on an aside, I was thinking today when I was looking back over the podcast from last week, trying to, like, figure out what we were going to do a little differently tonight. You know, we said harp a lot, and it seems like harp might be the word of the year for all the podcast. We don't want to harp on this, but we have.
We don't want to harp on negativity. We're not having too many choices.
Right. This isn't a 5-minute podcast, so we have to come back up. So, I mean, you know, general thoughts first. I mean, what can you say? It was 56-7 beatdown. You know, I didn't expect to win. We talked about this last week.
No,
I think
28-point spread.
Yeah, I mean, I picked 38-14. And, you know, when you boil it down to it, there's not a huge difference, really, 56-7, 38-14. A loss is a loss, but this is somewhat of a demoralizing loss. And it's not because we thought we were going to win. It's not because I didn't even think we were really going to be that competitive. But to be down 21-0 after
seven minutes,
whatever it was, I mean, that's inexcusable. South Carolina State fared better than that.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bart, your brother, and a fellow BSD writer told me earlier, they outgained us they gained 19 more yards than we did against Clemson. And scored 6 more points.
That's not good.
I mean, I know.
But anyway, so the main thing that stuck out, and I think interestingly enough to you, me, and Bart when we were talking about this, was the exact same play.
Yes.
It's the third play of the game, and I'm going to kind of, without video, it's a little harder to do this, but I mean, you know, it was one of those plays where second and four?
I think it was third and four.
Third and six, third and four. So they hike it, and we're in a base 3-4 defense. We've got Bud.
Standard defense.
Exactly. Bud guarding
Sammy Watkins.
Sammy Watkins.
Arguably the best receiver in the country.
Yeah, Hall of Fame, everything, do everything wide receiver. And one of the fastest guys. Looked like Bud was playing a few yards off. And then we had, it was second and four. I'm looking at it right now. So I stand corrected. We had Janvion as a safety. We had A.J. Marshall as a safety. But Janvion moved up to defend the tight end on a second and four. Leaving Bud Noel and Kevin Johnson were both in man-to-man covered. And they ran, a sluggo route, a little fake in, run out. And looking at Sammy Watkins, he didn't even run the route that well. He stuttered. Because Bud had plenty of distance. It wasn't like he was trying to press. But I mean, he has elusive speed. So,
yes.
Anyway, he beat Bud. Bud made, and I harp. That's our word again.
Harp.
I don't want to harp on this. He fell down. He pass interfered. He had no makeup speed whatsoever. And I love Bud. Great guy. But, I mean, inexcusable. He has 5 seconds.
Horrendous.
Not like he missed the press. He read the eyes. Boy, play him. And then A.J. Marshall took one of the worst angles I've ever seen. It was like he didn't know how fascinating Watkins was. And I bet if you ask him after the game, he would have said, you know, watching him on tape is one thing, but seeing it live is a completely different thing. So to me, the scheme, we're playing off. Like, you know, I've harped on pressing, and it's a bit of a double standard for me because, you know, there we are playing golf. But it's second and four, and we have a cover one. I'm not a football expert, so that may not be exactly what it's called. But we had man coverage on the outside. Javion took
one safety deep.
Right, Javion took the
safety.
Yeah, we had Olsen spying. I think a delayed blitz from it was either Chubb or Teddy Matthews. And then A.J. Marshall just got beat. Bud got everybody got beat. Nobody on that play did anything well or anywhere close to correct.
The top corner, Kevin Johnson, covered his man, but there was a deep route on that play. So whichever side Boyd was going to go to, he was probably going to connect.
And once again, in a nutshell, the game was over after that. I mean, not if any hope that you had, we're 35 seconds into the game, and one of your best five players in Bud Noel and A.J. Marshall have both been burned by a guy. It really the combination of everything that's gone wrong this year. Poor scheme, horrible execution. And, you know, a lot of times players can make coaches look good. Not this time. I mean, the scheme's bad, and I mean, Sammy Watkins is hard enough to defend, and Clemson, the number three team in the country.
NFL corners will have trouble defending Sammy Watkins.
But they don't
need
help, and you have to cater to that. Why not run a cover two? Drop Jamvion back. Help out a little bit. Put him on, I don't know who the other guy was, the other wide receiver. But A.J. Marshall was in the right place, but you can't run a cover one against Sammy Watkins.
Yes.
I don't care how much room you're giving him. You got to be disciplined, and that's setting us up for failure, and it's inexcusable.
Yeah, I agree. You know, our bend but don't break defense broke on the second or third play of the game. And, you know, if you know, we were to play a cover two, probably, and here I am thinking I'm going to try and talk about X's and O's. So forgive my amateur Madden playing analysis here. But, you know, a few years ago, we didn't really get beat deep over the top by Boyd. And I know he's a sophomore then and less experienced. But, you know, he was throwing interceptions when you make him have to just pick you apart. And, I mean, just mathematically speaking, if he has more times he has to throw, he's more likely to make a turnover, make a bad play.
Yeah, I mean, last year he beat us deep right off the bat, too, if I recall correctly.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw for what?
Sammy Watkins got going again.
Yeah, I mean, he had over 200 yards.
And he's having a down year.
I will say, you know, listening to me say, you know, we should move up, it does sound like I'm giving a double standard. You know, I want us to press. I also want to be far enough back. I want us to run schemes to give our players a chance to succeed instead of fail.
Given the opponents we're playing, absolutely.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, whatever that was, second and four, it looked like we were defending against the first down line, which is fine. But we put a safety on a blocking tight end. That's horrible. I mean, and the game was over at that point. There's not a lot to talk about. You want to let's talk about the one bright spot. The touchdown of Sherman Ragland.
Well, he magically appeared out of the doghouse. I don't know.
Wait. We have players that are good that aren't seeing the field?
Yes, we actually do. We have some talented players who are not seeing the field, and I don't know why. I look up, and I see Sherman.
Today, Sherman.
You know, I look up, and I see Sherman. I see he made a nice play to come back at the ball, sort of broke a tackle, extended, and scored a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And now, at that point, did I think we were going to be competitive in the game when it was 21-7? No, but it was a great spot.
It
was a good athletic play.
We did force it. I believe we forced if it wasn't a three and out, we got the ball right back, and then we couldn't do anything with it. But, you know, talking about the touchdown play, you know, that was actually a great offensive play. We got down to the 10-yard line. They blitzed the corner off the right side. Sherman recognized that. Tanner recognized it. And I think it was Dylan Inman, the redshirt sophomore, who was on the right guard.
Yep.
He picked up the blitz perfectly.
Great job.
Yeah, I mean, that was a textbook play. Tanner maybe a little high pass, but Sherman
a little off, but good enough.
Sherman went up, shook off his drop problems, whatever he had from last year, apparently, that keeping him off the field.
Didn't need as many Butterfingers.
No, then he got in, and you know, I like seeing the Michael Campanera, first one to greet him there, also had another good game. Seven receptions, 75 yards.
Yeah.
Continues to move up on the Wake all-time record book.
Yeah.
But all in all, Rob, what can you say? I mean, it's an embarrassing performance against a really good team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, 28-point spread, lose by 49. Neither of us expected to win. We didn't even expect
to be competitive.
But I would like to have seen a better effort out of the team, that's for sure. But we're going to put that game to bed. I never want to see it again.
Well, hopefully it doesn't beat us twice. I mean, so let's just talk
hopefully
about the State.
Hopefully it doesn't beat
here.
Us twice.
It's a must-win game.
And, yes, we play State this October 5th, this Saturday at 3:30. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned it's a must-win game. I heard a great line on Twitter that the only must-win game was Normandy. But, you know, this is pretty close. This is a close second. You know, we constantly harp on we needed a strong start to our season as the schedule gets a lot tougher from here.
Yeah.
We went 2-2 against Presbyterian, Army, ULM, and Boston College. I know that was in the correct order, so I apologize for that. But, you know, I felt like we needed to go probably 3-1 in that stretch to set us up better for earning a bowl berth. But at the beginning of the season, I circled this State game on the calendar and said, State, new coach, at home against a team that we have fared very well against at home.
Haven't lost this millennium at home to NC State.
That's pretty good. So
not bad.
It looked like a winnable game, and then you know how the season's gone so far, and I see we're a 9.5-point underdog. But Riley, take us through NC State, sort of what you think about them, and start with their quarterback, Pete Thomas, for us.
Yeah, Pete Thomas transferred from Colorado State. I think he played 2 full seasons there. He came here, and you know, it's funny, he wanted to play in the pro style with Tom O'Brien, but O'Brien got fired. So now he gets Dave Dorn, who likes mobile quarterbacks.
Yes.
So he lost the job to Braden Mitchell, who suffered a broken bone in his foot in the opener against Louisiana Tech. On the side, I believe he will possibly be back next week in Syracuse.
Next week.
Wake fans, we don't have to worry about Braden Mitchell. And
no.
You know what? We can get all the help we can get right now.
Absolutely.
We got Pete Thomas.
We don't hope for injuries, but we hope it heals miraculously Saturday by about, 7. Let's make it 8 o'clock to be safe.
Yeah, well, we'll see. And, you know, if Braden Mitchell comes back and he plays against us, good for him. And, you know,
he'll probably throw for 7 touchdowns.
Right,
that's
we'll get him at
luck.
Full speed. But, but as is, you know, it seems like over the past few years, we almost fared worse against backup quarterback than we'd have starters. I mean, we lost to, I think, BC in a game that if we'd won 2 or 3 years ago, we would have gone back to the ACC championship game. And,
yeah.
You know, we've had horrible luck with backup. But Pete Thomas from Colorado State, he doesn't like to – I keep hearing – I've watched all their games this year aside from the Richmond game, which apparently –
We'll talk about that
if
one.
If I hadn't seen the
bit.
Richmond game, apparently State's world beat.
They are
the other 2 days were good. But he doesn't – he can run, but he doesn't like to run. But from what I've seen, he's not that good of a passer either. So I'm not sure what he does.
His 5 interceptions might indicate that.
We might need to ask him what he exactly does here.
Exactly is it that
right.
You do here.
Because I don't know. But he looks good.
He's a people person.
I would guess – perhaps. I would give him the game manager. The game manager role. But everybody hates that one. But 64%, 73 completions out of 114. Throw him for 906 yards. It's a shade under 8 yards in the attempt. But 1 touchdown to 5 interception. And his passer rating is actually 2 points lower than Tanner Price's. So the interceptions apparently don't hurt you when they're factored in there. But yeah, so he needs to limit turnovers. But he's not. I think the strength there is their running game.
Yeah, talk about their running game. They have a variety of backs. Walk us. Start with Matt Days.
Yeah, Matt Days, a sensational freshman that impressed Dave Dorn from day one with his attitude, work ethic, and just skill. And, you know, he's joined by upperclassmen Shadrack Thornton and Tony Creasy. And Thornton's off his – he missed the first game with an off-the-field incident in the preseason or, I guess, spring football. But they've got a three-headed monster now. They like to work the ball around. They also like to run a lot of reverses, and they
some of them like to get called back for randomly stepping out of bounds. But
you know,
if they
catch breaks, they do all right. But they do kind of look like us a little bit with they motion almost every single play,
almost to the point where it's detrimental to the team.
Yeah,
you
and
know,
I think
a lot of false starts in that Clemson game.
Right. Yeah, it's,
but they run a tremendous amount of formations at you, and they even run that monster formation where they. Split the.
I would like to see that if they
had
gotten, I guess, with a false start, they caught it back against Clemson.
Yeah, something.
Hopefully, we don't see it on Saturday.
Oh, and actually, we'll see it in
3 or 4 times.
Three or four times.
Yeah, they're a good team. They've taken care of 3 of their first 4 opponents. Their only loss was 26-14 to a Clemson team that we know it may or may not be very good.
Hey, you hold Clemson to 26. We didn't even do that in the first half. They scored.
We almost did do it in the first 7 minutes.
Yeah, no, they scored 21 in the first 7 minutes. That's pretty good defense.
But it's hard to tell. Their schedule is actually easier than ours.
It's Cupcake City.
With Clemson added in there. I think, according to Sagarin, I think Wake is actually better than all three of the other teams that they played, other than other than Clemson.
Yes.
And most Wake fans are familiar. If you're listening to this, you probably watched some of our game. Otherwise, you just stumbled upon it randomly. And welcome.
And thank you for that. We appreciate it if you're still listening to us 15 minutes in.
But, I mean, their teams aren't good. I don't know if you have the numbers there.
Yeah, I have the numbers here. And these are according to the Sagarin's predictor ratings, which, you know, we're only about 4 games into the season. So take them with a slight grain of salt. But they're getting close to being well-connected. Wake's at about a 59 in change. State, for example, is a 72. Richmond's about a 58.7, so about equal with Wake. Central Michigan's a 51. ULM, Wake fans aren't going to want to hear this, is a 53, meaning we'd be about, an 8-point or 9-point favorite to ULM, home favorite.
Yeah, if we played again right now the 4 game stats.
Yes.
Even with that 56-7 loss to Clemson and the 21-19 loss to ULM.
Yes, those are still factors.
ULM took a beat down from Baylor and then Tulane, and I think actually Colton Browning's out for the year, so.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, I think he got a pretty bad injury, so.
Well, that's just Wake's luck that we took him on earlier in the season. But,
yeah.
You know, so they haven't played world beaters, to your point. But they've been putting up some impressive numbers.
Yeah, you know, my point with the Sagarin numbers was Richmond about like we are. And, you know,
yeah.
Most people look at Richmond, they're like, oh,
FCS.
They laugh, and they're like, oh, they're worse than Central Michigan and Louisiana Tech.
Or FBS.
Right, my point is, you know, you can't judge a book by its cover necessarily.
Yeah,
you want to... Want to read the first couple
research.
Chapters a little bit. And,
absolutely. Get it.
We've seen the first 4 chapters from NC State, and I think it's going to be a rough game. I was a little surprised at the 9.5-point line, but it looked like the Sagarin backed that up. I thought it would be around 5 or 6, but I don't know. I don't think Vegas knows what to do with this either, because I don't know what to do with us in terms of thinking game.
I don't know what to do with this. I mean, I could see this game going in a variety of ways, and at the end of the show today, as I said in the intro, we will be doing an ACC pick'em, which we will give our official pick. That will be the last part of the show.
I think the big thing is going to be when we have the ball, our offensive line against their defensive line. They have a very stout front 7.
Yeah, they caused Taj Boyd a lot of problems in that Thursday night
game. Yeah, make a lot of pressure. And we're rotating out 7 or 8 guys in there. And, you know, honestly, I think, I don't know if I said this last weekend, it seems like our younger guys are actually stepping up to the plate. Inman seems to be doing well. Helms have been starting at center. And I think Josh Harris, the lineman.
Josh T. Harris, excuse me.
And I think I'm leaving somebody out here, but maybe Will Smith. I think they've all stepped in there, and they've done a reasonable job. And, you know, if you're looking for bright spots maybe 3 years down the road, they'll be a nasty senior bunch. But that's going to be – if they can get to Tanner Price and they get in the backfield and keep causing us trouble with the run, it's going to be a long day. Steve Lebosky needs to come up with a good game plan to combat their defense, and as we've seen, that's not always the best hope for Wake fans.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough as an offense when the defense can create pressure with just their defensive line, and then they can have a lot more room for creativity, either with blitz packages from the linebackers, which they don't necessarily need to do. They can just drop more people in coverage and hone in on Michael Campanaro, who is... I think he'll be on the scouting report this week. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think number 3 will be well guarded in scout team practices.
I would think so. So, again, we'll get to our official prediction with the state game a little bit later on. But now we're going to go to a new segment. We're taking Twitter questions from you. So feel free to use the hashtag AskRTQ. That's RTQ for Roll the Quadcast.
We had a good amount of questions this afternoon coming. So I was impressed.
Had a good amount of questions, so we thank you all for that. Feel free to tweet us again for next week. You can tweet me at Robert_Reinhard. That's R-E-I-N-H-A-R-D. And Riley, where can they find you on Twitter?
At BSD_RA Johnston.
Okay, great. And you can all be sure to follow both of us if you don't hate us. That'd be great. We'd appreciate it. And follow at BloggerSoDear and keep checking out that blog.
We think we're funny every once in a while.
We think we're funny. Yeah. And, you know, so.
No Stuart Scott Van Pelt, but we do our best.
Yeah, hey. You know, we'll try and make it up to Bristol here.
Bring a little R&R, a little Robin, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But, you know, let's talk. Our first Twitter question. We have sort of a pair. The first one comes from the Black Chip Kelly. At Grice underscore is underscore right.
The Grice is not wrong.
It's not wrong. So what he says is, I'm reading more and more implying Grobe is on the hot seat. What's your assessment of the coaching situation? And Tim Silva, our friend, actually emailed this question to us and thought he brings up a good point. It sort of ties back into Grice's Wright's question of, with Lane Kiffin being infamously fired before sunrise on Sunday.
Fire Lane Kiffin. We knew something was going on.
We saw it coming. The fire department saw it was coming.
You know, instead of repainting over all that, they just need to add a D to all of it. So it's fire Lane Kiffin.
I think that's a lot more efficient than using the tax dollars. Absolutely. I think that's a great idea. But, you know, Tim wants to know if we foresee any midseason staffing changes if the Deeks continue to struggle. So, Riley, put the two of those together. Sort of, what's your assessment of the coaching situation right now on September 30th? You know, let's not predict what's going to happen in the state game, but where is it right now?
Well, I mean, I guess to address the first question, is he on the hot seat? From who? And we talked a little bit about this in our pre-show discussion. You know, I would say we're pretty well tied in. Recent graduates, we know a fair amount of people, you know, on the team and the athletic department, and I don't see anything that indicates that he is on the hot seat. Do you?
No, I mean, I haven't heard anything serious that would say Jim Grove's job is in jeopardy or Jim Grove needs to turn this season around or what have you, that would say he's a hot seat candidate. You know, these outside sources, Sports Illustrated or whoever, can say they make their hot seat list every week, and they can put Jim Grobe on there.
But they're not Ron Lohman.
But they're not Ron Lohman. They're not the ultimate. They're not the decider, as George Bush likes to call himself. So ultimately, it's Ron Lohman's decision.
Well, you know what's interesting to me? Whenever I think Twitter's a pretty good judge of, in terms of, you know, getting how people feel. You know, every time you even bring up about how, as a Wake Forest fan, you're ridiculed when you say that you think Grove should be on the hot seat. You know, their response, they're like, oh, well, can you do better? Well, oh, he won an orange, or he went to the Orange Bowl, he won a championship. Yeah, that was 5 years ago, 6 years ago. I'm not good at math. I was in high school when that happened, and now I'm 2 years out of Wake. And I mean, look, I don't want anybody to misunderstand me here. What Jim Grove did at Wake Forest was absolutely phenomenal, and I will never forget the moment that I had from that season and the two years after it. But, you know, he raised the bar, so it's time to meet the bar. You know, you can't just sail on your previous accomplishments until you're 80 and ready to retire. You know, we want to win, and I think, you know, I want to win, and I'm not sure. If he can't get us to the bar that he's raised, then we need to look at somebody else. And I don't think it's far-fetched for Wake fans to expect more. And I don't think they should be ridiculed for asking whether or not $2 million to pay a 500 coach is perhaps a little bit ludicrous.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I wasn't a fan of Wake in 2006. I didn't really start following college football that much until 2008 when I went to Wake. But I agree with a lot of your sentiments in general, in that what he did for the university and the football program is nothing short of astonishing.
Absolutely.
You know, salaries 2 to 2.3, something in that, which is top 35, top 40 in FBS football. And, you know, to whom much is given, much is expected. And I don't think Wake fans expect Wake Forest to compete for an ACC championship every year.
They're not unrealistic expectations.
They're not unrealistic, but I do think they need to expect more. And I'm not saying he should be fired after this season. I'm not saying that. I know you're not saying that. What I will say to your point is that you cannot live off 2006 forever.
Right.
And you need to be judged. You need to continually be evaluated on your recent accomplishments. And if they do not make a bowl game this year, that will make for four out of the past five seasons that Wake Forest has not made a bowl game, in an era where 70-plus teams make a bowl game each year. So, you know, Ron Willman needs to consider that. He cannot just say, 2006, you need to be looking at the last 4 years. You know, if you're a salesman and you bring in one good account, that's great. But
if this were a Fortune 500 company, I don't think the results that Jim Grobe has put on the field the last 5 years would be...
The stock price is not the same number it was
and, you know,
5 years ago.
And how dumb would people say, remember the Pepsi CEO had a great year 5 years ago. The numbers were great 5 years ago. You sound stupid. So why are we saying that about, well, he won an Orange Bowl 6, 7 years ago. It's completely different then. I appreciate what he's done, and he's a great guy. He's a great ambassador of Wake Forest.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you have to win games. You have to fill the seats. You have to make money. And, that, I mean, that's what you do. And right now, Wake Forest in Sagarin is between Texas San Antonio and Middle Tennessee in the predictor, and overall they're between Maine and Montana State. Those aren't
not world beaters.
Those aren't our peers. They're not our peers, though. We're in the
Texas
ACC.
San Antonio, they just started a program.
They did. The Roadrunners.
We've played with them on NCAA.
Great stadium.
Which is now a collector's item and a vintage, going to be a vintage edition, and because it's the last.
But don't worry, people will be getting their $120.
Oh, great! Glad they're all getting paid out of that litigation, but. I seriously am. I'm glad the players are getting their rightful money for that. But, you know, to pretty much sum up those two questions and our analysis of it for whatever it's worth is we really have no idea. We do think it's an absolutely fair question to ask and that he should be evaluated based on recent success.
Follow up a little bit. I think this year, if we don't make a bowl, I'll say that, if we don't make a bowl,
hypothetically speaking,
5-7 or whatever it is.
Whatever we go.
To me, there's no difference in 5-7 and 2-10 at this point. If you're not making a bowl, you're not making a bowl. And this is a year where we had a ton of seniors and we expected that.
That's the most surprising part.
I mean, looking at a big picture, the schemes that we put in for the offense did not fit our personnel and it should not have been done. I mean, we can say all we want now, and you know, hindsight is 20/20, and it's the coach's job. You're getting paid $2 million to see the future a little bit better because he knows his guys.
You would think they would see it in practice,
right? And you know,
his practice.
And if he is not willing to shake up the staff at all this year, if we wind up missing a bowl, and I'm not going to name names because I think we all know who I'm talking about.
The four-letter word, yeah.
Right, and I mean, if he's not willing to shake it up, and he's putting loyalty to his assistant coaches over winning, and you know. The stockholders, the season ticket holders, who
he does
are not
have the stakeholders' best interest.
I mean, and if
he
doesn't have that, then it's time to part ways. And you know, I don't like saying that, but you know, it's not unreasonable to expect a bowl every 4 years, much less every six or a winning season at least. So that's my thought. And I do think we echo the sentiment of the majority of Wake Forest fans, particularly the younger voice.
I agree, and you know, getting to a couple. Another question. This was from Strickland 33 on the OG boards. So Strickland, we thank you very much for your question. He asks, is there any heat being felt anywhere in the athletic department? We sort of talked about the football program. And then a question, again, similar to that one, from at @Ryan_Cantor, a coworker of mine. He's a loyal listener. By loyal listener, I mean he's listened to the first quadcast and hopefully
he's listened to them all. He's 100%.
He's batting a thousand.
He is batting a thousand.
You know, he's a frequent reader of Blogger So Dear. He says, will Wellman be gone if we have less than 20 combined wins in football and basketball season, which I think is an interesting question. So sort of talk about what you think Wellman's feeling in the athletic department, or just do you feel like there's any heat in the athletic department in general?
I think in general, accountability has lacked the last 5 years in the athletic department. There have been several bad hirings, there seems to not, people don't have to account for their bad records. It seems to be as long as we're doing things the right way, which I am all for, but I think they're the combination. You can win the right way,
yeah.
And at the end of the day, wins are what bring things in. Deacon Tower wasn't built because we went 2-10. Otherwise, it would have been built in 2000.
No, it was built on the Orange Bowl.
Right. I mean, it was, and you know, the plans were already in motion to get that up, and it was being built, and we were going to go in motion. But what do you think helped pay for it?
And
to
people
make it
spent money with expectations of future success.
Exactly. It's not, people aren't giving money to this program to not see future dividends, and
no, they
not
still want a return on their investment.
Right. Right. This is escapism, and I've been kind of thinking about this back and forth for the last really year. So you know, at what point do you even the most diehard fans stop going to games. Because, you know, it is an escapism. You go to games to escape life for 3 hours, 2 hours. No matter how good your life is, you go to be entertained. And, you know, I left the Louisiana Monroe game early, and it was the first time that I remember leaving a game early in a long time because I wasn't enjoying myself. It was a Saturday, and I wanted to have fun. And what I was seeing was making me angrier than if I had been mowing the lawn back up. I mean, seriously. And you know, I would consider us to be very, very diehard fans.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you're marginalizing the fan base at that point and there's no accountability for it, then you have to wonder where's the line is going to be drawn. And I don't know if Ron Wallman is feeling any pressure. I have no idea what, you know, like you said, if logic applied.
I can't apply logic to this situation. You know, I was telling you in pre-show, my mother asked me, and, you know, she doesn't know that much about sports, but she follows Wake sports since I've been there. And she asked me, you know, what's going on with the basketball coach? What's going on with the football coach? What do you think's going to happen, Robert? And I say, you know, Mom, I really can't tell you. I know all the facts. I know the pros and cons. I know everything. Not everything. I don't know everything on the inside. I shouldn't say that. But, you know, we're very well-informed fans, and I wouldn't be shocked either way. I wouldn't be shocked if Wellman retired tomorrow. I wouldn't be shocked if President Hatch fired him. I wouldn't be shocked if he were signed to an extension. I wouldn't be shocked by anything because you just can't – nobody can sit here and tell me they know what's going to happen in that athletic department because there's just no way of knowing. And, Riley, you're absolutely correct when you touch on sports are a way to an escape. And – you know, I've always loved sports. You've always loved sports. Absolutely. And for the past 6 years of my five and a half years of my life, I have loved Wake Forest Athletics, and I love everything about that university. But you're right. It's an escapism. And when you're escaping to losing 56-7 or just, you know, the Boston College – I said it after the Boston College game. We didn't have a podcast then, but that was the most disappointed I've ever been watching a Wake Forest sporting event.
Right.
Because my expectations were higher, and I thought we could do better.
Right, the bar, and once again, the bar has been raised. Like, the bar has been raised. You have to meet the bar. You can't have a good year and then drive back down and keep doing what you're doing because people don't want to eat cheeseburgers after they've had steak. They want steak.
And, you know, this was a year, and the year is not over. It is not looking.
No, we're not riding the team off. This is just a bigger picture.
The bigger picture. Okay. But, you know, you want to return, as Dan Collins, I believe, said, you want to return on your emotional investment.
Right.
And right now, it is in the red.
It's low. It's a low return on investment.
Yeah.
Hey, but once again, we always win the tailgate.
We always win the tailgate. Yeah. So if you want to join us for that tailgate, if you're local, this Saturday, we're always in the Joel parking lot right next to the annex. We always got cornhole going. We got a tent set up. We typically have Bojangles. We always have beer. So come, say hi.
Yeah, you too can get judged by the hockey moms going in at 10:30, taking their kids, and they see a guy out there drinking.
Hey, those moms, they're routinely late to take their kids to the game, so I don't want to hear anything
about beer. Exactly.
I mean, my goodness, her son could be the next Sidney Crosby, but you know what? If you're showing up half hour late to practice, you're going to be on the bench the whole time.
Apparently, there's not a lot of accountability with the hockey moms either.
Apparently, there is not. And you know, we could make Sarah Palin jokes all day, every day about the hockey moms, but we're gonna skip that.
She can still see Russia from her back porch.
Well, you know, she's got pretty good vision.
Yeah.
But the smooth transition that we're now about to make into ACC picks from Sarah Palin and the hockey moms. Again, this is a new segment we thought we would do based on viewer feedback, and Riley and I just talking about the next day, is that we're going to pick every ACC game, sort of like they do on College Game Day, and we could lie and tell you we got the mascots that we're going to put on, like Lee Corso, the winner, but that's not quite in the budget yet. If anybody wants to sponsor the podcast and
if you have a live wolf for any future state games, Bring him over.
Bring him over. Bring a cage, though. Bring a cage. Come on, let's not lose our heads here. Otherwise, we might.
Well, on a slight aside, BC Interruption has been chronicling. They got the live eagle, and apparently they have just become under extreme scrutiny from PETA? Whatever they are.
Yeah.
But yeah, about how, like, birds aren't meant to be kept in cages, which, in aside, that brought it. It's irrelevant, but shameless plug for BC Interruption.
They are good guys. You know, AJ Black over there is a good guy. They do some good work. And, well, you know what? We talk about BCI. Boston College plays this week. They play the Army, who we took on last week. They're at home. I believe it's a 1 p.m. game. So, Riley, we've played both of these teams.
Transitive property, Boston College wins by 29.
But
that's it.
That's your pick? Okay, I'll take BC. I'm not sure it's by 29. And we're going to start – we'll keep track of these picks. And
It's going to be 29.
Oh, it's going to be 29, guys. So, the next game, Ball State at UVA. Really don't have anything to say. I will point out, UVA and Pitt combined for less than 400 total yards of offense last week.
Yeah, I'm actually taking Ball State. I don't really know a lot about either of the team, but I think Ball State...
But you know they're not UVA.
Yeah, it looks like, according to Sagarin, they are four-point favorites on a neutral field, so it's literally a toss-up, Ball State is. So it's at UVA. So I'm taking Ball State.
You know what? My mom went to UVA. I'll take UVA. But, you know, when UVA plays Miami, I'm not going to use that same logic and pick UVA. But I'll take UVA. You know, let's mention a familiar foe, Clemson, in the initial ACC game for Syracuse. They get a nice welcoming. The number three team in the country comes to town.
It's a hell of a welcome game.
It is a heck of a welcome game. A lot of orange in that stadium. What do you think is going to happen?
I think Clemson's going to win by a lot.
That's probably about as accurate as anything. And, you know,
but, you know, you don't know, and this is for the Clemson viewers that may not be listening, but you have to – it wouldn't be a complete show if we mentioned Clemson and didn't mention Clemsoning, so we don't know.
Clemson and you can never predict Clemsoning. That's the whole point.
If everybody knew when they were going to Clemson, it wouldn't be Clemson.
It wouldn't be Clemson. Right, so, hey –
I think Orange is going to win. It will.
Orange is going to win. This is just like when Clemson played LSU last year.
Tiger Nation.
We knew the Tigers were going to win.
Yep.
All right, so you got Clemson on that one now. Three pretty intriguing games this week that we'll do a little bit of analysis on. The first one is Maryland, who is back in the AP Top 25 for the first time since 2011. They will be traveling to Tallahassee. To take on the Florida State Seminoles. I believe Florida State's about a 16.5-point favorite it is high to take on Maryland. Riley, what's your take on this game?
Well, I've been pleasantly surprised with Maryland. Coming into the year, I thought they had if C.J. Brown comes back healthy, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the ACC, and maybe one of the best dual threat in the country, honestly.
Yeah.
Got a lot of help at wide receiver.
Yeah,
Stephon Diggs.
He's good.
Deion Long, and there's another guy, too, that I'm blanking on his name right now, but they have one of the best receiving corps in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And, their defense has been stout, blanked West Virginia 37-0, who then
beat Oklahoma State this past weekend. Yeah.
Maryland, I think they've got inside track to finish third in the Atlantic.
Absolutely.
Is it enough to beat Florida State? Probably not. But Florida State struggled with Boston College.
Maryland's got more offensive firepower.
I'm taking Florida State to win, but I take
Maryland to cover.
I take Maryland. 16.5 feels like a lot to me.
It feels like a lot. And I don't know. It probably should feel like
we're picking it straight up, though. So we're taking Maryland.
We're picking it straight up.
Famous Jameis, reigns supreme.
Famous Jameis, Tomahawk Nation. Next game I want to get into is our good friends at the University of North Carolina, who
fantastic.
They had their Saturday wasn't too much better than Wake's. They lost the battle of Carolina against CC.
Theirs was probably worse than theirs, I would say, because they were supposed to
they
win.
Were
that's like
about they, touchdown.
They just got crushed by their little brother.
They really
I
did.
Mean, that was a romp.
We were watching that game and you know, in basketball, when upsets happen, it's like, oh, well, they hit a lot of threes.
There's not
this one; they just manhandled.
They did. They were. And, you know, Carolina players only meeting, which I'm convinced never work.
Usually not. No.
No, but they want to make sure the media knows they care.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, some people are even calling for Larry Fedora to be on the hot seat.
Are they calling for the hat of Larry Fedora?
Oh my! Well, that's
hatchable roll.
Yeah, he's not exactly the Mad Hatter that they have down. down in LSU. But yeah, the Fed spread offense is struggling, and if you look at what Giovanni Bernard is doing in the NFL and what he did last year, he appears to be even more valuable. So who you got? Virginia Tech coming off.
I was impressed with Virginia Tech against Georgia Tech. They were 6.5-point favorite or underdog, maybe higher than that, and they took care of business pretty well in Georgia Tech. I thought Georgia Tech was a much better team than that.
I did too. My power rankings indicated that, and well, once again, I was wrong about something.
It happens.
Yeah, go figure.
Hokie high. Virginia Tech VPI.
Yeah, I mean, and Carolina, they might struggle to make a bowl this year.
I don't have their schedule in front of me, but they got Miami left too, don't they?
That's their next game.
They got Miami. They got
on
State.
Thursday.
And then it gets a little. They have Boston College, State, Virginia, Pittsburgh, Old Dominion, and Duke. So they might run some off at the end. But you know, you're demoralized.
Yeah,
so.
You never know.
I'm taking VPI.
Okay, and then the other team in that Virginia Tech-Georgia Tech game, obviously, is Georgia Tech, who will be traveling, taking their talents to South Beach. I believe they are at a 5.5-point dog at Miami, who they've been taking care of business in the non-conference schedule.
Yeah.
Beat Florida earlier, beat Savannah State. Congratulations on that. I'm not going to applaud you for that in the least.
They TCOB.
They absolutely did. Riley, who you got in this one?
Actually, I'm picking an upset, and I don't really know why. I'm looking at the stats now, and I feel like an idiot. But Miami appears to be pretty good. Now, Miami is top 10. Looks like they have a top 10 defense statistically. A lot of that is who they play. They shut down Florida. I think it's going to be interesting. I don't know if there's an injury report on Stephen Moore.
I think he said he would have been okay to go back in the game
but once
on Saturday. But
they're eating cupcakes.
They were playing South Florida. So
they were having their cupcakes and eating.
Yes.
But I think... Georgia Tech's defense is really good, too. I think it's going to be a lower-scoring affair, maybe a 17-14 type deal. I'm taking Georgia Tech for the upset.
Okay, well, I'm not going to pick a score, but I'll take the U.
It may not be all about the U just yet, Rob.
We
all want to be a Miami Hurricane.
We all want to be a Miami Hurricane. And now the game you have all been waiting for, and if you are still with us, thank you. Wake Forest Demon Deacons take on the North Carolina State Wolfpack. Every time I play this game on NCAA 14, they tell me I-40 is backed up.
We get college game day every week on that game.
We get college game day every – I mean, we get excellent exposure on that game.
Yeah.
And this week we might have some negative exposure based on an airplane banner. But we won't talk about that until it actually happens. So next Monday
– I wonder if they'll stake out a spot.
Well, we could talk about that putt a little bit later, but Riley, what are your thoughts on this game? I know we talked about the game. What's your thought on the final score? What's your prediction?
You know, I like to claim to be somewhat intelligent occasionally, but I'll
back you up on that.
I have absolutely no idea what to expect. I mean, I really don't. I don't think either team is really – State's going to probably struggle to make bowl eligibility. Depends on how they play with Brandon Mitchell back. Wake is currently facing an uphill battle after not taking care of business the first four games. I think they've got a little more talent than us. I think they have more drive than us. I think they're more aggressive. They seem to want it more. I think their coaching staff reflects that on the sideline. I think if you had a picture-in-picture and you looked at their sideline and our sideline on any given play, not after a touchdown, you would see way more fire and intensity on that side. And when it comes to a team that has more talent, they want to stop the streak. They really haven't beaten us since 1999, and that includes three quarterbacks that are now playing in the NFL.
Mike Glennon, Russell Wilson, fantasy team, and Phillip Rivers, who's having a little bit better year.
Yeah, and I mean, they haven't beaten us here, and that's obviously during a pretty good
stretch. Still never got called for as many intentional grounding calls as they should have.
Yeah, I've got – you can't see this, but there are seven Russell Wilson throwing balls right here. I was surprised the State was a 9.5-point favorite, and I told Rob while we were doing the pre-show, I almost picked Wake. I actually had Wake, and I scratched him out. So now I'm taking State by 13 points, obviously. I'm going to take State 27-14. I don't have a lot of faith in Wake Forest right now. I don't like saying that. I think it'll – I don't know. I think our offense is going to struggle. I don't have faith there, and I don't think scheme-wise and execution-wise, I just don't think we have it right now. And I hope if players are listening to this, I hope you take this and throw it back in my face and take care of business on Saturday.
Again, my 2 cents on the game. I pick State 28-17. like Riley, I hope the players throw it back in my face. I hope Wake wins 475-0.
We could do an inside Carolina pick, and how they do their basketball scores. It's like, oh, they're going to play Duke to a close tie. You know, Carolina 107, Duke 2. So let's do something like that. You know, I think we might struggle out of the gate.
Well, they do have a good defensive line. We might give up a safety.
Yeah, I know. Let's go.
We gave up one against Army. I think we still won.
I think we're going to go. Hey, we're 1-0 this year.
When we give up a safety.
Statistically, we should just yield the 2 points because we're undefeated. But, so
I don't see anything wrong with it.
Hashtag stats. So yeah, let's go Wake 87-4.
We're gonna so I can count that as your official.
Hey,
right?
Hey,
Wake
87-4.
Oh yeah. Okay, Wake 87, NC State 4. You heard it there. So
yeah, well.
Well, yeah. Riley, anything else you'd like to tell our listeners?
Not really. I think it's a good week. Got a lot of big picture look. Tried our best to act the breaking down film. I don't know how that's going to come out.
Breaking down film? Hey, you know, we might be the next Ron Jaworski breaking down film.
His Colin Kaepernick pick's not sounding too good right now.
Yeah, well, that was weird because he also had him as the 12th best quarterback in the league right now and said he could be the greatest 49er ever. So
we digress.
we digress. I will like to say congratulations to the Wake Forest men's soccer team.
Oh, yeah, very exciting.
A very exciting 90th minute header by Jalen Robinson to tie North Carolina 1-1.
Attendance record at Sprice Stadium.
Attendance record at Sprice Stadium.
I think over 4,500.
Yeah, over 4,500. So congratulations to all of you for showing up to that game and giving them the support. They play Charlotte on Tuesday, October 1st. So hopefully the Deeks can get another win there. And congratulations to our women's team who defeated Syracuse on September 29th.
Once again, all the other all the non-revenue sports are doing well, and you know that's good for them.
Yeah, well, you know what? We're just going to call them fall sports.
Yeah, Olympic sports.
Olympic sports.
Olympic sports.
Olympic sports. So once again, thank you so much for listening. We hope our podcast was historically competitive. Feel free to follow.
Hopefully it's at least hysterically competitive.
Hysterically competitive. Thank you. Well, we know it's going to be, well, with our joke-telling ability, we're not sure it'll be hysterically competitive. But, again, shameless plug, follow me at Robert_Reinhard, R-E-I-N-H-A-R-D, Riley.
It's at BSD_RA Johnston. And also, make sure you use the hashtag AskRTQ if you have any question, or send us an email at rollthequadcast@gmail.com. Or, you know, come see us on Saturday. We're going to have a big party out there. Probably be there around 10.
We'll be the one making all the cornhole.
Yeah. Well, you won't see the bags because they'll be on the board.
That or so far wide right or stuck in a tree or something, but probably just under the board.
We're not Tallahassee. We're not going wide right. Wide right, whatever they do down there. So,
yeah, but yes, thank you once again for listening. Go Deeks, and enjoy the rest of your day.
Go Deeks.